is indeed time for the Crime Report, ladies and gentlemen, and it is sponsored now by the Crime Stoppers of Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. That's where all calls are indeed kept confidential. Also, a monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued in some cases with information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacqueline, of course, the retired NYPD sergeant. He's a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, and the author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. And let's not forget Joe, a highly decorated member of the NYPD back in the day, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. Say very good morning to the sergeant. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
All is good. Let's get right to it, my friend. The identification positively made in that on the reserve there of Brian Laundrie, Joe, the human remains found were that of Laundrie, the person of interest in the strangulation homicide of his former fiance, Gabby Petito. Just a strange, strange set of circumstances, as we had seen on Wednesday leading up to the events yesterday regarding the identification, Joe. Just, I'll tell you, this is one for the ages here. But a little bit of finality, and we'll see what's in that all-important notebook, I guess, you know?
Well, I mean, if anybody's been listening to us for the last couple of weeks, we talked about how he'd be found, you know, close to not too far from where he was living, right? So we call that shot. The issue that it comes down to is that now we're going to look at what they call an exceptional clearance. Now, exceptional clearance is where you have a case where you build probable cause and you can't make an arrest for obvious reasons. In this case, because the suspect is dead. Or, you know, it could be like somebody flew to Cuba or something like that and they get into a country that has no extradition. So I think they'll put their case together. They'll close it out as an exceptional clearance. And in this case, will be, it will be done. That's basically the closure that the family is looking for. And I think they'll get it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of these cases, Joe, and that obviously they're going to determine the cause, right? As far as what happened to this guy, and then maybe kind of piecemeal stuff. You know, if the guy had any type of pulse, you know, this backpack and notebook that were found there, you know, maybe he wrote down a couple of details. You know, maybe he wrote something to help out the family, just to kind of, you know, figure it all out. You know, what happened to Gabby? Why was Gabby killed? And just some closure in some sort of sense, you know, for the Petito family there. You know, you hope for something of this nature, no?
Well, if we want to speculate about what exactly is going to happen with that, I mean, I'm assuming that it's going to be a note saying that it was an accident and, you know, they got into an argument or something like that. If you recall, I said that was one of the things that he'd lost if they did catch him, about saying that this was going to be an accident or something, rough play and what have you, and that was going to be his excuse about what happened. You know, here comes the other question, because people are still asking this, like, what about the family? Like, what did he tell the mother and father before he left the house? You know, there's a lot of other things that play here. I still don't see any charges coming for the family. Like I said, most people would have... you know, most family members, most mother and father would have done probably the same thing if he told them anything at all. You know, parents, that's what parents do, right? Except for mine would have probably thrown me under the bus for sure. But the issue that comes down to is that this case, I think, you know, it'll be closed, and I think people can then, you know, like, I guess the public can move on to something else. There's a lot of other cases out there that need attention, and this case got so much attention. I think that there's so many cases out there that could use the public's help to help them actually close it. This one, I think, was, not going to say pretty easy, but they had the number one suspect on the radar as soon as they got their story together there, and they had somebody. There's a lot of cases out there that they don't have that, and they could use the public's help.
Yeah. Joe, you don't see anything coming by way of the parents. You know, it almost seemed like they were a step ahead as far as, you know, knowing where the son was, you know. And again, you know, if when all said and done, it looks like it is, you know, could there be anything regarding impeding an investigation of some kind when it all comes out? I mean, do you completely exonerate these two from any wrongdoing at all here?
I don't think they can exonerate them from any wrongdoing per se, because we don't know exactly what transpired. But now that we know that he's dead, I really see any charges coming, you know, for them. I really don't.
We'll keep an eye on things, but, you know, all this stuff, you know, it's amazing. You know, the sighting on the Appalachian Trail, Tennessee-North Carolina border. Remember that guy who saw, he thought it was laundry, swore it was laundry. You know, all of this stuff, it's just, you know, only adds to the confusion, you know. I saw the guy in the white pickup truck. You know, he mentioned he was heading to California, needed directions. Remember that whole deal a couple of weeks ago?
Sure.
You know, spottings all over the place. One in Toronto, Canada. You know, another one in Alabama. All this other stuff. It's crazy stuff.
Right. When all that crazy stuff was going on, we spoke about that. And I said, if you remember about the two convicts that escaped Dannemora, remember me talking about this? Those here, we got two hardened criminals, murderers, and they didn't get very far. He's, you know, I know people say he's a survivalist and this and that. I mean, nonsense with this stuff. They generally don't get too far. At this point, you know, he ended up killing himself probably. But the issue that comes down to is that they never really get far from where they leave. And that's why I was talking about that, because you would want law enforcement to remain focused in and around the area of where he was. And here we are within, like, what, 10 minutes from his home. So if you stick to that mantra, you usually do pretty good. So that's why you cast that net around, you know, a 5 or 10 mile area like that, and then you focus in on that.
100% right. More than likely, that's what always happens, right? And in this particular case, who the heck knows? You know, he was in that water. That water was, you know, had dissipated to the point where they can actually, you know, find stuff. And who knows? You know, maybe the guy was bit by a moccasin snake and then eaten by an alligator. You know, you know, listen, if you get real graphic about it, I mean, who only knows what's in that reserve and in and around that area. So, you know, that's the case. You got wild boar there. You got moccasin snakes. You got rattlesnakes. You got alligator, obviously. So,
yeah, not a place for me.
Yeah, not the place for me either, man, I'll tell you. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Let's head over to, I tell you, I remember way back, I'm sure you do, you remember Bruce Lee's kid, I believe his name was Jason.
Brandon,
I'm sorry. He was killed in a movie set. The movie was called The Crow. I remember it vividly. You know, it's not out of the realm for these things to happen, you know, with these movies now. You know, these guns, they're props, obviously, but they look real, right, Joe? You know better than anyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had a horrific accident in New Mexico yesterday involved Alec Baldwin. You know, who's had his own troubles over the years, we know, but that was, you know, it was an accidental shooting, according to what's going on out there. But, you know, director of photography killed. The director itself of that movie was injured. You know, they're investigating. That was a tough scene yesterday over in New Mexico when you read about this stuff.
Yeah, no, they're still investigating it. They haven't closed out the case as an accidental. But, yeah, they're real firearms, and what they're supposed to do is remove the firing pins. So this is where that investigation will go in to make sure that the gun was supposed to be inoperable, and actually it wasn't, apparently. But the issue that comes down to is what caused it to do that. Was when they made it inoperable, did they do it the right way? Did they remove the firing pin? So that's part of the investigation. The other part of it is, like, you know, so you have the producer and the executive, I think, producer, and you have, you know, Baldwin in the middle of this. Like, what? Why did he pick up the gun, and why did he fire it toward this person? Would be the other, you know, other part of the investigation. I'm sure that they're looking into.
Joe, you mentioned the firing pin. Well, how do they actually do it on film? How do they actually make it look as if it's real? How do they go about that?
Well, it is, like I said, it's a real gun, and what they do is they file down the firing pin, or they actually remove it. It depends on what kind of gun it is. You can actually remove the firing pin so that no matter what, and you're not supposed to be, you know, you're not supposed to use real bullets, of course, but they have, you know, sometimes we've seen it. This has happened more than once. I know you mentioned Brandon Lee, and then there was another one I remember, too, way back when, where this happened. There was another star going back, a TV star from the 70s or 80s. I'll remember his name eventually, but it had happened to him, too. So, you know, like I said, it's not, it's rare that it does happen, but it does happen. So, I mean, it's a tragedy all around. Like I said, I don't see any criminal charges coming from this, but this still will do a complete investigation. Every time you have a death, they do a complete investigation as if it's a homicide until they prove otherwise.
Yeah, and that guy's name, Joe, was John Eric Exum. I remember that one.
Oh, that's it. Yep.
He was on a set in which I guess he was fooling around with this thing, playing this Russian roulette game, and there you go. Now, you know, blanks instead of bullets, but they could still obviously do massive harm here, correct? Close range?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. As I said, these still, even though they're real and even though they're props, they're supposed to be treated as if they are real, and you never point them at somebody. But like I said, you're doing a movie, it's hard not to point something at it. But I don't know if he's an actor in this movie and what have you, so I don't know exactly what transpired here, and that's what investigators are looking at.
No question about it. Tough scene out in New Mexico yesterday. A couple of incidents, Joe, on the road caught everyone's attention. You had a guy from Blue Point who crashed a stolen pickup into a car, killed the driver. He's charged with manslaughter now. It happened Wednesday night. This 50-year-old, Robert Hengeveld, his name was, he tried to evade police in Holtzville. And as a result of the crash, a 19-year-old who was driving another car, died. Hengeveld's passenger was ejected from that truck. And this is all about this guy was evading the police. And it was a tough scene there in that Holtzville area. Then there was another crash yesterday. And, you know, listen, this one happened around 1 in the morning. Nothing ever good happens there, with speed happening in the West Hempstead area. And two teenagers were killed there.
Yeah.
Tough events on the road back-to-back, Joe.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, this. We know Long Island drivers, man, sometimes they just, like, drive way too fast. Some of these roads, I mean, especially the Southern State Parkway, my God, I mean, people driving on that road in and out, crossing lanes. You know, people don't understand that solid white line that leads up to traffic lights. You're not supposed to cross that. I mean, there should be some, you know, especially now with all the internet and all the learning online, they should make drivers, when they renew their driver's licenses every 5 years or so, that they should take like a 10, 15 question test, you know, online before they are able to renew it and pay for it. I mean, some of the things that you see, and as, you know, people driving on shoulders, people drive excessive speeds. I mean, it's absolutely insane sometimes. It's just like every time I get on that Southern State Parkway, it's like you white knuckle it, because you even see all the crosses all alongside the parkway. People doing stuff. But here's a situation where probably speed was a major factor. And, you know, the investigators, they collision teams are out there measuring stuff, you know, skid marks and what have you, if there are any. And unfortunately, you have two teenagers here that, you know, their families, are, I'm sure, are devastated at this point, and you don't, and they're left asking why, you know.
You're right. It's a white knuckler, especially in the wee hours, because you never know. You really got to pay extra attention. Two quick ones for you. An MS-13 gang member admitted during the week to luring a teenager to the woods of Central Islip a couple of years ago. Shot him multiple times, left him there to die. So the guy pled guilty for his role in the murder of a 15-year-old. And, you know, listen, we've seen this before. And, you know, listen, they're getting into the courts. The sentences are coming fast. I kind of worry a little bit of what's happening presently with the unaccompanied minors that have been let in and dispersed, including into the region, our very own region here. But this is, you know, a big case. You and I have spoken about this a lot regarding some of these sentences now.
Well, listen, the investigators did a great job in these cases. I mean, they scooped these guys up. They did a complete investigation there. And they're getting the federal prosecutions, and they're getting, you know, heavy amount of times, and they're getting confessions, and they're getting other names. But like you said, yes, I mean, in the middle of the night, they're delivering accompany minors into New York again. I mean, I guess we got our answer, Jay. We always ask, like, I wonder what's going on with this program. Well, I guess we got our answer. So, listen, hope is not a plan. When you send, you know, people somewhere, kids especially, and you say, well, I hope none of these are gang members, or I hope none of, yeah, that's not a plan. So, we've seen this happen before, and it's reared its ugly head on Long Island a number of times. Let's just, like I said, I hate to use the word, but let's hope this doesn't happen again.
Listen, there's no common sense in anything that goes on anymore, right? There's no vetting process at all for COVID, and certainly background checks, forget it. So, you know, we're not just talking 8, 9, and 10-year-olds here. You know, we're talking, you know, men in their 20s, even early 30s here, according to reports and everything else. You only hope. Last thing, I like the fact that reward has been doubled. Money talks, Joe. In this case, you know, well, it goes back to March. 40,000 now up for grabs if somebody can come through with some information and find this creep who threw, and I'm being nice here, who threw an unknown burning, you know, the acid into somebody's face. This poor kid. I mean, my goodness. This is as bad a story as you and I have talked about so far this year, and they got to get this guy. They know the car. They have an idea, you know, some sort of a Nissan Altima red color, 2013, 2015, in that range, Joe, and hopefully they get this guy now.
Yeah, no, money makes a lot of people come out of the woodwork, so we'll see what happens, you know, with that, and let's hope they get the information that they need, because this is a horrific crime. I mean, if pretty much everyone saw the video, and if you haven't seen the video, you should. I mean, this girl's just walking home and gets attacked. It apparently looks like for no reason, but the issue that comes down to is that investigators generally need help. That's why we have the Crime Stoppers. That's why we have the tip lines. And that's why we need to get that information out there.
Please, anybody. We'll give it to you again in Nassau County, that tips line. Listen, it has proved incredibly helpful, these tip lines in both counties. I mean, many a case solved. 1-800-244-TIPS, 244-8477. If you know something, send it in. There's a huge reward now. We're talking $40,000. That's how big this case is. Let's get this individual off the street and get him into custody. Joe Jackalone, the Crime Report. Joe, always a pleasure. Stay well, my friend, and we'll talk.
You too. Take care. Have a great weekend, Jake.
All right. You too, my friend.